A reading from the Epistle. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The 2019 motion picture, The Best of Enemies, stars Oscar winner Sam Rockwell and Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson. Henson plays North Carolina black civil rights activist Ann Atwater. Rockwell plays C.P. Ellis, exalted cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, whose actual experience serving with Atwater on a 1971 Durham Schools Desegregation Committee led him to a profound change of conscience and of heart. 9 years later, in an interview with Studs Terkel, Ellis said in his strong working class North Carolina accent, "The whole world was opening up, and I was learning new truths that I had never learned before. I was beginning to look at a black person, shake hands with him, and see him as a human being. Something was happening to me. It was like being born again. It was a new life." Ellis and Atwater were both still alive when I lived in Durham 2 decades ago. The Best of Enemies had become good friends. And when Ellis died in 2005, Atwater gave a eulogy at his funeral and an interview about him on NPR's All Things Considered. Atwater was asked if it made sense how Ellis was changed from KKK member to union organizer for both blacks and whites. "No," she said, "it don't make sense when you look back at it. But then if you look back at it through my Bible, through God's work, God had a plan for both of us. And that plan was to put us there to make sure that this school integration would be done peacefully. And that's what happened. It's just a strange thing, but it really happened. And the funny part about it all, we stayed friends all these years." It's like being born again, a new life. It doesn't make sense. But when you look back at it through the Bible, through God's work, God had a plan. I'm sure it didn't make much sense when in the book of Acts, Ananias was sent by God to go and meet Saul of Tarsus and lead him to the Lord. Saul was a violent man, a chief of sinners, he would later say. He held the coats for those who stoned Saint Stephen at his martyrdom. And he was out to persecute and prosecute the church, and he was willing to stop at nothing to get it. But then on the road to Damascus, something happened. Saul was born again. It didn't make sense, but it was the beginning of a whole new life. And a believer named Ananias had a vision that he was to arise and to go to a street called Straight, where he was to find Saul and lay his hands on him and lead him to the Lord. So the chief of sinners was saved. Saul became Paul. And the fiercest persecutor of the church became its foremost apostle. God had a plan. I've been thinking of this because of some of those who've been persecuting us as a church this past year. Many of you know that we have been attacked in various ways. Some of the things that have been said about us are vile and repugnant, and some even dangerous. That's what I told a man I met at a county commissioner's court meeting not long ago, in fact. I said, "You're the man who's been saying all those mean and nasty things about me and my church." "And I think it's dangerous," I told him. "Words aren't dangerous," he said. "Well," I said, "people are dangerous. There are some dangerous people out there. We have to be careful. I know these things, but we also have to remember that dangerous as they are, our Bible tells us that they are also still people. And our struggle," Paul says, "is not against people, but against powers. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood," he said. "It's against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul would know. He saw how the powers of darkness could take someone like himself or a C.P. Ellis and make them mad, make them hate. I think that that is what has happened here in America. Spiritual powers and forces have taken hold of people and made them hate. But as the so-called grandmother of Juneteenth says, Dr. Opal Lee, who as a little girl had her house attacked by hate on June 19th, 1939, is so often to say, if somebody can be taught to hate, then they can also be taught to love. By the way, Dr. Opal will be with us here at Broadway at the Freedom Table dinner on July 1st, so go ahead and get your tickets now. People who are taught to hate can, by God's grace, also be taught to love. Souls can be saved. Sauls can be saved. So too can C.P. Ellis's. So maybe can some of those men who are saying all those hateful and dangerous things about the church today. It is not God's will. It is not God's will that anyone be lost to hate. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ have got to take our charge seriously to win them to God's love. Dr. King used to say that the mission is to redeem the soul of America. And if we're going to do that, if we are going to have any chance of redeeming the soul of America, then, well, we've got to make some converts, beloved. And that means we've got to be in some conversations. And we've got to be willing to do what Ananias did in the Bible, willingly so, cross town to save a soul. Maybe for my friends on the left, that means we've got to be willing to heed Jesus' words today in the gospel, where he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. The Bible has a whole lot of meanings, beloved. Cast your nets far and wide. Be in conversation. Seek the salvation of everyone. I'm not saying be stupid or careless. Be shrewd as a snake. But when God shows you that someone is open to the gospel of love, then lead them with your hearts and not your politics or your prejudice. As my boyhood pastor and former pastor of this church used to say, John Claypool, God's middle name is surprise. And maybe we will be surprised and see that souls really can be saved. I've told you before about my best friend in high school, who was the first person I ever led to the Lord. Our youth minister, Scott Travis, whom I wrote about in my Friday letter, had us leave a chair in our Bible study meetings and pray that God would send to us what Scott said was the worst kid in the school, and see if they wouldn't make their way into our little community. And after about a year of leaving open that chair and praying that God would send someone to us, a family friend called me and said someone he knew needed a positive influence in his life. That's when Big Nasty, not his given name, made his way into my life. He was 6'4", 17, and had a rap sheet as long as my right arm. Breaking and entering DWI, fights in the streets, he was angry and he was violent, big and nasty. And he was coming to join our Bible study. My parents were thrilled. But beloved, after about a year of him being with us, it was like the Bible. And a change took over him. And the next thing I knew, Big Nasty, his real name was Robert, had expressed a desire to give his life to God. And I got a call one afternoon from Scott, and Scott said, Robert's ready to accept Christ as his Savior. And I said, that's wonderful. Let me know how it goes. And Scott said, he's coming over to your house to do it. Now, I had never done anything like that. I was nervous, kind of freaking out. We went into my bathroom because I didn't want my parents to think we were weird or anything. One of us sat on the side of the tub, and I can't remember where the other sat. And I remember sitting there with Robert, and I remember him saying, the only thing that holds me back is I just don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. And I remembered that something that Jesus had said in the Gospels when he was eating dinner and hanging out with all the tax collectors and sinners. He said, you know, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And the Son of Man has come to call not the righteous, but the unrighteous. And after I said that, Robert said, okay, I'm ready. And we said the little prayer. And that was 31 years ago this year. And we have been lifelong friends all the while. And 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Robert. And he said that he was going back behind bars. Huntsville Prison this time, with his church. He was going with his church to minister to the inmates in Huntsville Prison. And he called to ask me that I be in prayer for him and for those he visited. And talking with him, I told him that I was going to pray that God would send him the biggest, nastiest, worst inmate in all of Huntsville Prison. Because souls can still be saved, and so can C.P. Ellis's, and so can Big Nasty Roberts. God only knows who else is about to sit down in a chair on that street called Straight. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,